The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live. My telephone number, pardon me, I just hit the microphone. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. This is such good news and long overdue. I mentioned yesterday I'm not the baseball fan that I used to be. When I was growing up, I was a rabid L.A. Dodgers fan. I knew all of the players and their positions and all of that. And I don't know, since we moved to Ohio way over 40 years ago, I just never could get into the Indians or the Reds and would follow the Dodgers from afar. But I don't know, I just haven't been a big baseball fan for many years. But I am well aware of the past and the Negro Leagues, when African Americans were not allowed to play in Major League Baseball. Those teams were all white. Blacks were not allowed, and therefore they formed their own league, and they were called the Negro Leagues. For all of these years, the records, you know, the most at-bats, most home runs, most strikeouts, and all of that, have been kept separate. Major League Baseball and the Negro Leagues. There is the Major League Hall of Fame, and then there's the Negro League Museum. And they have been kept secret, separate all of these years. Yesterday, Major League Baseball announced that the records of the Negro League players will be included in the game's official statistics in Major League Baseball. I think that's a wonderful decision and long overdue. If you look back in the past, in early baseball, the 20s, the 30s, there is no doubt some of the greatest baseball players that ever put on the uniform and the cleats and ran the bases were in the Negro Leagues. Some of those players were just absolutely incredible, and a few of them have been included in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but not many, and the records have been completely separate. Quote, before Jackie Robinson broke professional baseball's race barrier with the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1947, black players were barred from MLB play, depriving many baseball fans from seeing some of the best hitters, pitchers, and fielders of the 20th century. Here is a quote from Rob Manfred, commissioner of Major League Baseball. All of us who love baseball have long known that the Negro Leagues produce many of our game's best players, innovations, and triumph against the backdrop of injustice. We are now grateful to count the players of the Negro Leagues where they belong as major leaguers within the official historical record. The records and statistics of over 3,400 players who competed in seven different leagues for black players between 1920 and 1948 will be included in MLB records. Quote, This is from the Negro League Baseball Museum president, Bob Kendrick. He said this, for historical merit, today is extraordinarily important. Having been around so many of the Negro League players, they never look to MLB to validate them. But for fans and for historical sake, this is significant. It really is. The seven leagues that will now be included in official records are the original Negro National League, the Eastern Colored League, the American Negro League, the East-West League, the Negro Southern League, the Second Negro National League, and the Negro American League. The Negro Leagues of 1920 to 1948 produced some of the greatest players in the sport's history, including 32 Hall of Fame members, Jackie Robinson, Willie Mays. I had no idea that before Willie Mays played in Major League Baseball, he was in the Negro Leagues. Had no idea. I didn't know Roy Campanella. Didn't know. Satchel Paige, yes, I knew that. Monty Irvin, Josh Gibson, James Thomas, Cool Papa Bell, and MLB's second black player, Larry Doby. That's really good news. And as the news release states, long overdue. Long, long, long overdue. And as race relations continue to rise to the surface in our conversation, discussions, and so forth, we need to be reminded of the times when America truly was racist. Now, I would debate you on whether America was founded on racism. I don't believe that is true. But there is no doubt that through much of our history, racism was very prominent. Look no further than the Negro Leagues. Here is an athlete, some of the best in baseball, but because of the color of their skin, were not allowed to play in Major League Baseball. That is one of many stains on American history. So I am thrilled that Major League Baseball has made that decision. Quickly, because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but those of you who are inclined to do so, I hope you will pray for the Southern Baptist Convention. I have just enormous respect for the Southern Baptist Convention, and for many, many reasons, their battle out of liberalism, the conservative resurgence that rescued a denomination that was doomed to death because of the liberalism that had permeated the denomination, the leadership, the seminaries, and so forth. And a group of very courageous men fought back in the conservative resurgence, brought about a wonderful revival. I'm also very proud of the way the Southern Baptist Convention in the last 10 years has dealt with racism. They have publicly and repeatedly repented of the racism of the past in the Southern Baptist Convention. They've been very open about it. They haven't tried to hide it. And I've mentioned in the last few days the national convention that was held here in Columbus just a few years ago. A huge part of that national convention here in Columbus was dealing with the sin, the stain of racism. The Southern Baptist Convention has made enormous strides in this area. But they're facing the possibility of being just torn apart over CRT, critical race theory. In my personal opinion, CRT, is not biblical. It's an ideology. It's not a scriptural way to combat racism, and I think scripture is very clear on how to combat prejudice and bigotry and racism. Critical race theory has nothing to do with scripture or a godly way to deal with the problem of racism. But there are many in the Southern Baptist Convention that are absolutely determined to spread almost the gospel of critical race theory, and it's coming to a head. It really is. All of the Southern Baptist presidents released a statement just a few days ago denouncing racism of any kind, but also denouncing critical race theory. Well, there are a number of people who are battling back, and this is my personal opinion, they're willing to split wide open a denomination, not on scriptural grounds, but ideological and philosophical grounds. This thing's going to come to a head, and we need to pray that there will not be a huge split and division in a denomination that has done so much for the kingdom of God. Pray.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Oh, I tell you, let me say it again. I've said it over and over again. I hate discrimination. I hate prejudice. I hate racism. My childhood in Compton, California, taught me to just despise racism of any kind. And because of that, I will support and encourage almost anything and anyone that will genuinely, truly bring about equality, forgiveness, cooperation, and peace. I will oppose almost anyone or anything that will divide us. And I honestly think this CRT, this critical race theory thing, will not bring about any kind of unity. It will be divisive. And yet, in my stack, I have a pastor of a predominantly black megachurch in the Southern Baptist Convention. He's going to leave. He's going to leave the Southern Baptist Convention. Why? Because they're departing from Scripture? No. Because they've compromised on doctrinal truth? No. They've compromised on their stand of the inspiration, the authority of Scripture? No. They're compromising on the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection? No. He's leaving the Southern Baptist Convention because the presidents of all the seminaries put out a statement: we hate racism, we decry racism, we condemn racism, but we cannot agree with critical race theory, which is an ideology and a philosophy. It's a little bit of both. So get this. The pastor of a megachurch is removing his church from the Southern Baptist Convention, not over biblical reasons, but philosophy. I find that very troubling. But I think this is typical of the people who get behind CRT, critical race theory. It is our way or the highway. We either agree. This is the typical left wing. If you don't agree with us, you're bad, you're evil. And I just think it's sad, and I just hope this thing just doesn't blow up completely in the Southern Baptist Convention. I really do. I'm praying for the leaders, the elected leaders, the seminary leaders, and I'm praying for unity and a biblical response. Speaking of division, again, the far left. The University of Wisconsin-Madison Black Student Union has petitioned the school to remove a 70-ton rock. It's been there for 100 years. The rock was put there and has a plaque on it. It's been there for over 100 years, or nearly 100 years, to honor one of the first presidents of the University of Wisconsin, Thomas Crowder Chamberlain. Well, the Black Student Union says it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go. We want to remove it. And the administration of the University of Wisconsin has said, okay, well, okay. Why? Because Thomas Crowder Chamberlain was a racist? No. Because he owned slaves? No. Because, you ready for this? A journalist in 1925, one journalist in 1925 used a racial slur to describe the rock. If you don't want to know what it is, those of you old enough, you will remember what people used to call Brazil nuts. Okay? If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, I'm not going to get into it. A journalist in 1925 used a racial slur to describe this rock. Has nothing to do with the president, nothing to do with the rock, but because one time in 1925... And someone heard about it, somebody read about it, and therefore we got to get rid of the 70-ton rock because somebody might be offended because of something someone wrote in 1925. Such is the insanity on the liberal left. Would this cause unity, healing? Of course not. Now, what's really funny, it's very close to an Indian burial ground, and it could be federally illegal to move it. Yeah. Hey, folks, have a great evening, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.